It's time to swing into the golf world of today with Springdale Golf Live. Sponsored by our friends at the New Jersey Golf Foundation. Here's your host, Keith Stewart.
All right, members, friends, and players, good afternoon and welcome to Springdale Golf Live. I'm Keith Stewart, and I'll be here entertaining and engaging you on this and every Friday afternoon. Thank you for tuning in to Fox Sports, 9:20 a.m., and definitely a special thank you to the New Jersey Golf Foundation, our friends and sponsors. And, you know, it's been a crazy week. It's been a crazy week after our first Springdale Golf Live last week. This week, it's the texts, the emails, all the support that our listeners have come back with has just been fantastic. And I'm really energized to get on the mic this week and talk more Springdale golf. And we have a very special guest this afternoon. We're going to talk some women's competitive golf and what's going on at Springdale and the WMGA spring team matches. So it's going to be an exciting episode. My week was crazy. It was just crazy. I mean, who would think little 9:20 a.m. radio station down here in Central Jersey, but Fox Sports does such a fantastic job. And with over 10,000 listeners here tuning in to Springdale Golf Live this afternoon, I had this text come to me over the weekend, and it was from a good friend of mine named Brian Kroll, and he and his co-host, Frank Darby, have a show on Sirius XM in New York City studios, and it's from 8 to 9 p.m. on Wednesday evenings. And Frank is also the coach of the Manhattan Jaspers men's golf team, and they're away at their conference, MAC Conference Championships. So Brian gave me a call, and he said, you know, if you've got the time, could you come in and co-host with me on Sirius XM? So to a certain degree, from the beginning of last week's show, the week's been a little bit of a whirlwind, and we spent probably a good 15, 20 minutes talking Springdale, golf, and all sorts of fun things on this past Wednesday night at Sirius. And just to let all of you know, I mean, this is pretty serious. The Springdale Golf Live thing's taken off. Just yesterday morning, I was in the dentist's chair, and the dentist came in and he said, hey, how's the radio show going? So it's really great to hear from everybody out there. We love all the support. I know 9:20 a.m. Fox Sports, the Jersey. And if you can't get to us at 3 o'clock on Fridays, that's fine. There's a podcast up on 920thejersey.com. Or if you've got a smartphone, hit it up on the TuneIn smartphone app. But either way, we're having fun, and can't thank everyone enough for listening and tuning in. And special thank you, of course, to Brian and Frank for all they do to spread the good word of golf on their Encore show on Sirius on Wednesday nights. And good luck to Frank. Down at Disney, they're playing the Palm and the Mag courses for the MAC Championships, and I wish the Manhattan Jaspers all the best. Tower talk. Last week we brought it up, and we know that this is all about what's going on at the club from an events point of view. And I grabbed this mailer on my way out the door from the club about 15 minutes ago. And tonight's pizza night. So pizza night, you get to come in and create your own pizza. And I love pizza. I mean, growing up as a kid, I could remember, you know, my dad coming home with pizzas on Friday night. So I think this is a great idea. And it's just another example of how Springdale does all of these fun, family-oriented type dinners. You know, it's not like Blue Blazer, prime rib, au jus, and, you know, soup of the day, and all the things that I really didn't want to eat when I was 8 years old. So pizza night's going to be so much fun there tonight, and we're gearing up for a big week at the club. I mean, let's just be honest. Tower talk-wise, we got a lot to cover today, and I'll go quick, but Thursday, we have a women's open house luncheon at 12:30. So starting at 11:45 a.m., we're going to have a quick clinic for about a half an hour on the range for all the ladies. You don't need clubs. You just need to be dressed for golf. And the weather looks good on Thursday, so you don't have to be dressed in a parka like you have this week. And at 12:30, we're going to have representatives from all the different women's groups at the club. We're going to have a fashion show with our friends from Under Armour. Can't thank them enough for their support. And it's going to be a really, really fun luncheon day. Corey does an awesome job with the luncheons, always has, and he's definitely going to put a display on Thursday worthy of coming out and hearing about all the fun things that we're going to do with women's golf this year at Springdale. Then on Friday night next week, we have our member opening cocktail party. And what's cool about this is that we've invited over, as all the members know, but our listeners may not, we are the home golf course for both the men's and women's Princeton golf teams. So Coach Will Green and Coach Erica DeSani and their teams, they're there practicing each and every day. And at the member cocktail opening cocktail party next Friday night to kick off opening weekend, the teams are going to have a couple player representatives there, but certainly the coaches are going to be there, and they're going to be talking all things Ivy League golf, which has a lot going on this week as both the men's team and the women's team are playing in their conference championships. And they're both local, so if you want to get out and support the Tigers, we certainly encourage that. The men are playing over at Stonewall, just a little northwest of Philly. Great 36-hole track out there. All the Ivy League teams are there, and they're competing for that Ivy crown. And the women are even closer over at Matitoconk in Jackson. So a quick little jaunt down I-195, and you could go see the ladies play. But a big weekend for them, and who knows? We might have a winning conference championship coach on the show next week or the week after. So we're excited to have them out for the cocktail party and then followed up Saturday morning with men's opening day. So there's a bunch of guys on the list already coming out. The weather out that far, you know, 10 days out or so that we are, looks good. So we're looking forward to a really, really good competition. But speaking of competition, right now, we've had another week, even with the temperatures are what they are, we had another fun week of competition out at the club. As we mentioned last week on Wednesday afternoons, we have our men's group come out called the Wednesday Group. Wednesday Group's been around probably about four times as long as I've been old. But these guys have a great tradition of golf and fun. And as a collection, they get out. And they had an unbelievable contest on Wednesday. Just some really good stuff. Our winning team was 11 under par. And conditions were tough. Again, usually, you know, last week was 17 under par. But it was cold. It was windy. Wind came up in the afternoon. You know, it's just damp. You know, the joints are kind of achy, but congratulations to the 11 under par team of Don Weingartner, Frank Martin, George Harvey, and Ricky Gallaudet for playing so well on Wednesday. And of course, back that up with some more competition on Thursday morning as our 18-hole ladies went out. And I have got to give so much credit to these ladies for going out on Thursday morning. I think the high, of course, which is almost an oxymoron at times in this particular reference, because the high was maybe 40 degrees. It was brutal. But they went out and they competed. And the first thing I got to mention is that we had an eagle in the group, and not just your average eagle that you see on TV that Rory McIlroy might make or something like that, but our very own Kathy Shillaber holed out from 135 yards on the eighth hole, making a two. So on a par four, she made a two. And, I mean, that's just one heck of a shot, and it's totally worth mentioning. And congratulations to Kathy. And her team, based upon that eagle, did very, very well to the point where that they came in at second place with a score of 31. It was a nine-hole event. The weather, in the end, we put out a little hot cocoa station, and I think that basically was like just completely deterred them from continuing on, because we, you know, again, we have fun at the club, and we love our members, and we put a little comfort station out there for them, and they came in, and we started telling some stories, and they said, you know what, it's a little cold, so we're going to keep it the nine holes. So they shot 31 on the front. So Kathy and Nancy Hankel and Liz Fernandez, congratulations to them for coming in second. And then our first place team with a score of 30, just one shot better, was Cindy Pearl, Ann Weingartner, and Barbara Lyle. So we had a dozen ladies out on Thursday morning. And again, the weather wasn't great, but, you know, I give them all the credit in the world for coming out and having a really, really good time. And we look forward to them coming out next week and then joining us for the women's open house luncheon after their golf. One more quick thing that I want to talk about before we go to break here is that week in and week out, I'm going to keep asking you to hit me up on Twitter or Instagram at KJPGA with some live questions for the show. And this week I got a great question, and the question comes in from at Sune, and he asks, can golf reach the lengths and heights of popularity that it was at during Tiger's prime without a competitive Tiger? And I chose this question because I really it goes back to a conversation we were having on course the other night on Wednesday. But I got a kind of a bone to pick right now. I got a bone to pick with the National Golf Foundation. And they believe interest in golf mainly comes from 18-hole rounds played. And I think it's time that we need to kind of maybe think outside the box and how we record how much interest there is in golf. Top Golf in 2017 is going to serve 13 million customers. 13 million. So all those people didn't play 18 holes of golf, but they played golf. So I think that will golf reach the popularity heights that it did during Tiger? I think it can. And I don't think we should be listening to everything that we hear about, oh, you know, golf and young people, they don't get it. And you know, it takes too much time. And the average visit to a Top Golf is 2 hours, and the average size group is 4 people. 2 hours and 4 people. 9 holes, 2 hours. How many people play? 4 people. This isn't rocket science, folks. Golf's doing really, really well. And that's why we have a golf show. We're here to talk about it. And we're here to tell you that if you get out and you have any interest in golf, go to these golf facilities. If you're here in Princeton, come see us at Springdale. We'd love to have you. We're extremely excited about what's going on. And to the point where you talk about excitement. We have this teaching professional, and you've heard me mention his name before. His name is Vince Vermagli. And Vince Vermagli, VR, Victory Ready Man, he put out a challenge to the membership last week. And he said, I'm going to give free start of the season kickoff lessons from 1 o'clock to 4 o'clock on Saturday the 21st. 15-minute lessons, sign up. Well, after Vince sent out that email, he filled that up in less than 36 hours. He filled up those time slots in less than 36 hours. This is how much people want to play golf. He's going to be out there from 1 o'clock to 4 o'clock tomorrow, just running people through like a ride at Disney World. It's going to be unbelievable. The experience is going to be great. The service is going to be wonderful. And everyone's going to have a magical time. Because once Vince gets a hold of you, you're going to hit the ball better. And you're going to come away with a plan to play better golf. So we're extremely excited about his program for tomorrow. And we're extremely excited that everyone is so into golf. So let's all be big fans of the game and not listen to some of this stuff that maybe we see on social media, because 13 million people disagree. So hopefully we can get the New Jersey the National Golf Foundation to record some new data and really get some numbers out there that the PGA of America, my fraternity, can use, and the USGA and everyone else that promotes golf can use to really tell the proper story of golf right now. And, you know, when it comes to golf, as we go into break here, I just want to mention, you got to thank our supporting partners, the New Jersey Golf Foundation, and their 3 pillars. Just take one of their pillars, for example, the Golf in Schools program. They're getting golf out in the schools to over 120,000 kids annually. I mean, what a fantastic story. And I'm sure you're going to hear more about them during the break. And when we come back from the break, I'm really excited because we're going to talk to my good friend at the club, Miss Donna Young. She's the captain of our Women's Metropolitan Golf Association spring team. She has been a 2-time state amateur champion, and she's a 22-time club champion at the club. So we look forward to catching up with Donna, and we'll be back in just a minute.
The New Jersey Golf Foundation, the charitable arm of the NJPGA section, is committed to positively impacting lives and communities through the game of golf, with a focus on 3 core pillars, youth, military, and special needs. The NJGF delivers dynamic programming under the guidance of PGA professionals, so individuals from all backgrounds can experience the game of golf in a welcoming environment. To support the NJGF or learn more about programs and special events, visit njgolffoundation.org. That's njgolffoundation.org.
Outkick the coverage! Hey, it's Clay Travis of OutKickTheCoverage.com. I'm sure you already have a morning routine. Mine used to involve feeding children and changing diapers, but in an unfortunate twist for my wife...
Ain't nobody got time for that.
I no longer have time for that.
I hate you.
Outkick the Coverage has come to your radio every weekday morning, whether you want it or not.
Weekday morning, 6 a.m.
So join us when you wake up.
This is 920 The Jersey.
Let's get back on course as Springdale Golf Live continues on Fox Sports 920 The Jersey. Once again, Keith Stewart.
All right, welcome back from Burlington to Bucks and back up to Mercer County at Springdale Golf Live. And I am honored to have on a very special guest, a woman golfer in the state of New Jersey that really needs no introduction, but I'm going to make one anyway. Donna Young, two-time state amateur winner here in the state of New Jersey, 2006-2007. She has played in 18 total USGA events, national events, one amateur, nine mid-ams, and two senior championships. And one of the coolest stories, I think, is that she played golf at Rutgers, and she was on the inaugural Rutgers women's team. Donna Young, welcome to the show, and how are you today?
I'm great, Keith. Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you here, and the timing is such that each spring in New Jersey golf, the Women's Metropolitan Golf Association has something called the Spring Team Matches. And in these Spring Team Matches, the team of Springdale goes out and plays. And could you tell me a little bit about these matches?
Sure. Well, not only does the team of Springdale go out, but teams from all over New Jersey, about as far south as we are, maybe a little further, Long Island and Westchester, Connecticut, go out and compete in these matches. And the matches have been going on for 72 years, which is pretty remarkable if you think about all those early meetings and parking lots at golf clubs and driving for long periods of time to go play golf in not always the best weather.
Well, I got to give you guys all the credit in the world because a lot of people complain about the weather this spring. But over the years, do you have one story in particular that sticks out?
I've probably got a few, but I played college golf before there was great rain gear and footwear that would keep your feet dry. So this is a little easier to handle, I think, than that was back then, but it can be pretty chilly, and fortunately the equipment's gotten a lot better, but there's some days you get there and you don't think there's any way they're going to send you out in that cold pouring rain, but they do.
So Springdale has been very successful in these matches. Roughly for the past decade or so, at least, you guys have been in the top two series in the state. And, can you give our listeners an idea of who Springdale will be competing against this year?
Sure. This is a new series. We've gone sadly down from Series 1 to Series 2 this year, but hopefully we'll get back to 1 after this year's competition. We will have some new courses to us in Deal Country Club and Beacon Hill Country Club, which are both towards the shore area. We will also play Upper Montclair, which came up from Series 3. That'll probably be very tough competition for us. And we have the great pleasure of playing both Baldessarol and Canoe Brook.
Baldessarol.
Yes.
So our competitive team is going to go play the hallowed grounds of Baldessarol this year.
Absolutely. Not sure if it's the upper or the lower, but either one is fine with me.
Fine with me, too.
Yeah.
Do you need a caddy that day?
Sure, if you're available, why don't you go see if you can get in the caddy yard, and we'll get you on my bag.
You know what? I would love to be out there for it, or anyone on the team.
Okay.
Who are some of the key players on our team this year that you look forward to in the matches to earn us some points?
Sure. We have. Well, we're very fortunate this year. Cindy Pearl has retired, so she'll be with us for all of the matches. And that should be really a great asset for us. We have Wendy Richmond, Jen Green, Perry Sue Silverstein, who's kind of my secret weapon in the back of the lineup. We have two new players Christina Miller and Teresa Brooke, who will be joining us this year. They've both come over from other clubs, and we're very happy to have them aboard. Laurel Harvey and Judith Apuzzi, I'm sorry.
Awesome. Well, you know, I know that the team last year was in Series 1, which
yes.
is, you know, basically the top teams in the state, but Series 2 is certainly very impressive. And
yeah, there's a difference. when you start these team matches, which we did many years ago in the middle 80s, you start in the last series, which for us was Series 11, and you can only climb one series per year. So the way it used to work is you'd play, if you won your series, you'd challenge the team from the bottom of the next series, and if you beat them in a match, you'd go up. Now they've done away with a challenge match, so you just go down if you're the last team and up if you're the winning team. So, but we started many, many years ago, so we've driven in a lot of traffic and played a lot of different golf courses.
Talk about needing, you know, as a captain, needing very, very detailed short and long-term goals for the
yeah.
team. To climb four or five series could take you 6 or 7 years.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We were very successful early on. We went up pretty quickly from 11 up until we got to about 4 or 5, and then we got stuck there for a few years. And I think in 4, actually. And we were there for maybe about 4 years or so, and then we finally won Series 4, and it was 3 was so easy to go through, I was shocked, you know, because you think they're all going to get progressively harder. And I thought we'd kind of stay in 3 for a while, but we went up to 2 pretty quickly. And 2, I just figured we'd hit our point, our level of water, so to speak. One year, and this is before anybody who's on the team right now, we just kind of had this perfect set of circumstances because 2 was incredibly competitive, and one of the players I had to play got food poisoning, so I had a much easier match, and somebody got hurt, so we miraculously won series 2, and as I remember, we challenged Plainfield to go up to Series 1, and we defeated them and went up to the Promised Land, Series 1.
Well, I tell you, I know that the club has a long-standing tradition of very, very strong competitive women's golf, and
absolutely.
All the members are very proud, and we follow along in these series, and each and every year, you know, whether it's Series 1 or 2, you're talking about one of the top 10 women's teams competitively in the state, and
absolutely, yeah.
you have been a big-time leader of that, and as I mentioned earlier in the lead-in, a couple of years ago, in 2006 and 2007, you were the back-to-back women's state amateur champion. And, you know, it begs the question going into a brand new season mm-hmm. that what's on your radar for this year? What have you set your sights on as far as goals for this season, tournaments you're looking forward to playing in? Give me a little Donna Young preview for 2018.
Okay. Well, as a competitor, I always think you want to play against the best possible competition out there. So for me, that is the national level competition and the USGA events. So I hope to play in, it's a qualifying process, so it's difficult. It's a lot of players for a few spots. But I'd like to try and qualify for the Mid-Am this year, which is in St. Louis, Missouri, Norwood Hills. It's always been a goal of mine to play in all 50 states, and I've never played in Missouri, so this would be a good opportunity to take a notch off my list. The Senior Am is at a really good golf course, Orchid Island in Vero Beach, Florida. And there's a new event this year, which I'm toying with the idea of qualifying for. I've got about a month to decide to get my application in, and that is the Women's Senior Open, which is at the Chicago Golf Club. And it's an inaugural event for senior pros and amateurs, and it's pretty exciting to think about. It's taken a while for the USGA to get around doing it. There's been a Men's Senior Open for many years, but it's going to be very exciting to see there, and I'd love to be at that.
Well, I think that whatever motivation you need, hopefully, if we're not giving it to you today, then you come into my office, and I'm going to send the application in for you. Yes, you're
okay,
going to get
okay.
it. full force from
me. Okay, very good.
And speaking of pep talks, one last thing I'd like to discuss with you is that, you know, we have 10,000 listeners out there. And I know that there's some parents out there and there's some young ladies out there who are into golf, and that's why they're listening to Springdale Golf Live. And we're here with Donnie Young, who is just an unbelievably competitive golfer, very successful in tournament play for the last 30 plus years. And, you know, I'd love to get some advice from you for these parents and for these young ladies about how your competitive golf career began.
Okay.
And what advice can you give to our listeners with daughters to get them involved in competitive golf?
Sure, absolutely. Well, it began a little bit by accident, I would say, because my mom went back to work when I was very young and she taught school. And, you know, that's not a 9-to-5 job. You have to come home, you have to do lesson plans, you have to grade papers. So, somebody had to watch me, so that fell upon my father, and he had taken up golf a few years before, so he would like to go to the driving range over there, Tony Medeiros' driving range on Route 31, so he would take me to the driving range, and I would hit three balls, he would hit three balls, we took turns, and I gravitated towards it, I liked it. Tony Medeiros was a golf professional, and he could see back then that I had an interest in it, and I'm left-handed, and I initially learned to hit the ball left. I had two little cut-down left-handed clubs, but, you know, he said he was a sort of a curmudgeonly guy, and he said to my dad, you know, if she ever wants to play as an adult, you better change her to right-handed. She'll never get equipment. Back then, it was very difficult to get left-handed equipment, so I must have been about 8 years old. They cut down a couple right-handed clubs, and in 2 weeks I hit it the same right-handed or left-handed. So, but today it's very different. There's the girls segment of the golf population is the fastest growing. So
that's
there's a tremendous
news.
Amount of opportunities out there for young girls. There weren't the first tournament I played in, I was the only girl in it. So that was very different.
Well, we host a lot of junior events. And
yeah, there's
you,
a tremendous
the
amount
anymore.
Of junior events. The WMGA offers not only the team matches, but a whole list of tournaments, and several of them are junior events. And the juniors, if they are of the proper skill level, are all welcome to play in all their championships as well.
That's cool. So in summary, the best advice is to have them, the parents, get on the internet and find opportunities, because there's tons out there.
Yeah. And, you know, I kind of had to do all this research myself before the days of the internet to figure out what I needed to do. And now it's much easier with a click of the mouse. So.
Well, that's some great advice, Donna. And I thank you for that. And I thank you
my
for
pleasure.
Your time today. I got to wrap this up because Springdale Golf Live is about ready to wrap up itself. Thank you so much. And I'm sure I'll see you at the club soon.
All right. Thank you so much, Keith.
Take care, Donna.
Appreciate it.
Well, that was Donna Young, club champion there at Springdale many times over, and truly a leader and a mentor in women's golf here in the state of New Jersey. And we're so happy to have her on and to talk about golf. Last week, very popular segment of the show was the trivia contest. And congratulations to Chris Miller, who came up with the right answer of what does Patrick Reed listen to before he goes on the golf course? And it was the song Radioactive by the Imagine Dragons. Well, we're going to continue the trivia this week. Here it is, the question of the week. First person to come in tomorrow morning gets a free cart ride on me. Don't give me the answer today. Don't text me. Don't tweet me. Come in tomorrow morning to the shop, and you get a free cart ride. In 2011, Kevin Na made an infamous 16 on a par 4 in the Valero Texas Open, which is the PGA Tour event this week. What hole did he make the 16 on? What number hole? All right, give me that answer to the question tomorrow morning, and you'll get a free ride on me. Well, folks, I'd surely like to thank my producer here, Mike. I'd like to thank Springdale, and most importantly, I'd like to thank our listeners. Next week, we have opening weekend. We have the Zurich Classic, which is a new fun format there on the PGA Tour, and we have special guest interview with Executive Director of the New Jersey State Golf Association, Mr. Kevin Purcell. You know what I'm doing right now. I'm heading over to Springdale. My question to you is, where are you headed? So let the tower be your guide. And from Princeton to Philadelphia, and of course, everywhere online, we appreciate you tuning in. And you know what I'm going to say at this point? Make sure that y'all have a Springdale day. Take care. See you next week, folks.